Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm NFL linebacker TJ Watt, and this is my personal best. YPB by Abercrombie is the activewear I'm always wearing. That's why I reached out to co-design their latest drop. I worked with designers to create high-performance activewear that holds up to my toughest workouts. Shop YPB by Abercrombie in-store, online, and in the app. Because your personal best is greater than anything.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It's my game right here. I feel it. I'm telling you, I feel it. I taste it. It's time for you to be legendary right here, boy.
This is First and Pod.
They could not run the ball to save their lives in this game.
Your favorite team through a national lens.
The beauty of this podcast is that we don't gloss over anything. We do every team and every game.
Instant reaction to all the big games all season long.
The NFL never seems to let us down when we need a banger.
Now, here are your hosts, Andrew Filippone, with 8-time Pro Bowl corner and 3-time first-team NFL All-Pro.
Peterson may go all the way. He will. Patrick Peterson wins it.
Patrick Peterson.
Nothing says that you're fit to be the quarterback of the New York Giants like winning a game with a big Cuban link dancing on the field as you're winning. I was like, yeah, boy might be built for the bright lights in New York, man. Jackson Dart gets it done in his first start. Like you said, to the Saints next week. Let's see if they continue. We'll go now to the Browns and the Lions because it looked really bad for Joe Flacco. And you know, it doesn't take a lot for, you know, those whispers to start because they have a very interesting third string quarterback that everyone cannot wait to start to point to. Was this performance from Flacco bad enough for you to think that it may be Shador time in Cleveland?
Well, first of all, it's not going to be Shador time. It's going to be Dylan Gabriel time first, because that's what the depth chart says. And like I always said as well, with Dylan Gabriel being drafted third and Shador being drafted fifth, you know, they're going to give their third round pick an opportunity first, but it's coming soon. I won't be surprised if they name a starting quarterback this week, to be honest with you, because I kind of knew that I kind of gave Joe maybe, you know, four weeks to, you know, let the young guys learn from the sideline and things like that, especially now because what they're 1-3, you know what I mean? So you're not getting you're still having the same results that you've been having. So we need to change it up because you have a championship defense. Now you just need an offense that can stay on the field, convert some third downs, and give your defense a break. And that's why, you know, the Cleveland Browns can't win because they have no offense that can give their defense a break. So If they can get one of these two guys, whoever it is, you got two first-round draft picks coming up next year. So if one of these guys are not your guy, you're going to have a pretty the way that you're playing, you're going to have another, you know, at least one of those two, two of those first-round draft picks is going to be in the top 10. So maybe you know, find your quarterback in the next year's draft. But, yeah, the time is coming for Joe Flacco, but Dylan Gabriel is going to get the call first.
Gabriel went into this game with 4 minutes left, and Kevin Stefanski said afterwards, don't read anything into it. I'm sorry, I am. I mean, yeah, he lost 24 points. Flacco looks old. His interception early in the game, he just threw the ball up. It reminded me a lot of Russell Wilson's interceptions in New York before he got benched. Mm-hmm. The play where Aiden Hutchinson could have sacked him, but instead he just slapped the ball out of his hands because he knew that Flacco didn't see him. And he could do it to a 40-year-old, and it ended up in a turnover that pretty much put the game out of reach. So three turnovers in the game for Flacco. You know, I do think, because both of their offensive tackles are out, that Gabriel is better suited right now for their offense because he gets rid of the ball faster than Sanders does. And I think Shadur has a tendency to drift back in the pocket and not step up in the pocket. And I don't think that that's necessarily a good situation for him with their offensive line pretty banged up. I also think Shadur has a lot of his dad's tendencies in terms of saying things that his dad would say, because his dad is one of the all-time greats and his dad could back it up. His dad could talk trash and say things and he could get away with it because he was such a great player. Mm-hmm. But when he said this week, yeah, I think I can play because there's a lot of bad quarterback play out there. Mm-hmm. I just don't, when you're the third string quarterback, I just don't think that helps your cause to say those things, man.
Yeah.
I don't. And I think he's taken after his dad, and his dad was never shy to give a quote and to speak his mind and be honest about things, but he's not his dad. He wasn't a top five pick. He wasn't somebody that, you know, a team looked at and said, we view you as a transcendent franchise changing player. He was a fifth round pick, and I just think he forgets that sometimes, Pat, and I wish he would do a better job with the things he can control right now, which is what he says and how he acts when he's not playing.
Yeah, man. You know, college football can do that for you.
The NIL era.
Absolutely. Deion was asked about Shadur kind of passing up to being the Baltimore backup, and Deion said, I've never been a time where I've been on the sideline and said I learned something that day. I said, they got to stop asking Deion about being a backup. Deion knows nothing about being a backup.
He could have gone in and played yesterday for Baltimore. There was a whole form there.
There you go. There you go. Let's get to that game, by the way, because, Pat, your Super Bowl pick is they're struggling a little bit. Chiefs were able to get right against the Ravens in a more lopsided of a game than a lot of people anticipated. How are you feeling about your Super Bowl pick, Pat, and the Baltimore Ravens after they dropped one to the Chiefs?
Man, not good. Not good at all, man. Defense. I mean, I think the defense finished with seven guys injured, if I'm not mistaken. They damn near ran out of guys in the back.
Six starters are out right now for them.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, they're getting banged with the injury bug right now. My guy, Action Jackson, you know, got banged up as well. Don't know the severity of his injury. But, man, yeah, the defense is leaking. Offense, it just seemed – well, we know what the offense can do. You know, obviously, the highest-scoring offense in the league wasn't able to do that yesterday because of I don't know if the Detroit Lions have put out a blueprint on Lamar Jackson, but Steve Spagnuolo was not playing around yesterday as far as the pressure – that he was sending at Lamar Jackson in every single passing situation. You know what I mean? So the Baltimore Ravens are going to have to definitely look into that on understanding now how teams are trying to defend Lamar Jackson. And they're going to have to get better on the outside for us with the pass catchers. We know they got Zay Flowers. We know they have D-Hop. But like now with how teams are starting to pressure them, they're going to have to start to change up the route tree and the route combinations. So, I'm worried about my Super Bowl pick right now, man, because like I said, the defense is giving up way too many plays. Don't know how many of those guys are going to be out. If they're giving up big plays with the starters in there, God knows what they're going to do with the backups in there. So it's not looking good right now for my Super Bowl pick. Still a long season to go, but I'm nervous. I'm nervous right now, Pony. I'm nervous.
Well, you should be. You know what's crazy about it? Their defense was obviously horrible in this game. They give up 37 points. It's the first time in over a year that the Chiefs offense looked like the vintage Chiefs offense. And I thought Xavier Worthy gave the Chiefs a huge lift. He ended up their leading rusher in the game because he had that long end around play. Deep ball, ran a streak route, caught a ball downfield early in the game. I just thought that he did soften the Ravens defense, but the Ravens defense has been soft every time they've played a good team this year. With the exception of the Cleveland game, they've looked like garbage in these three games against legit teams. But that, honestly, as crazy as it sounds, that's not my biggest concern if I'm a Ravens fan coming out of this game. It's how broken their offense looked with the pressure you talked about. Mm-hmm. And I'm just surprised that Lamar, at this point in his career, seems to get as startled and as freaked out by it. The fourth down ball he just threw up, the ball where he threw it to Mark Andrews kind of recklessly that went for an interception. Now, Andrews has got to do probably a better job of coming back for the ball there and fighting for it, but he wasn't open. The fumble he had when he ran into his own guy, Linderbaum. I mean, it's 2 weeks in a row where a team has had him flustered and has made him look really uncomfortable and made him look almost like a young quarterback again, where he's not trusting himself and he's not confident in the decisions he's making with the ball. So, you know, the defense, I think, you know, they're really up, you know what, creek because of the injuries. Lamar can get it right and can get back to the drawing board, but I'm just shocked by how bad he looked at times yesterday. He looked like he was a rookie again against the Chiefs.
Yeah, now I'm going to tell you what, at least what both teams did, not only sending pressure, but having guys be responsible in their rush lanes.
Yeah, you're right. Good point. Very good point.
That's the biggest thing. Like when most teams who rush against him, that's why the Pittsburgh Steelers is always successful against, you know, Lamar Jackson, because they're not only, you know, corralling a pocket, but the interior guys, they're not in there getting washed out. You know, they're, you know, in there staying strong and staying responsible in their rush lanes. And then next thing you know, you may have a spy behind him to where now you got his eyes down. Now he's trying to avoid the pressure and the rush. And now you can pretty much force him into making a bad throw, because we know if his eyes is up and he's moving around, that's when he's dangerous. But when his eyes is down and he's moving around, that's when you pretty much have him bottled up. Now you just have to get him on the ground.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin at 16 weeks. And most of those people maintain skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ravens have to turn it around. Are we confident in the Chiefs after kind of handling the Ravens the way they did yesterday?
More confident because they won and the Chargers lost too. And yeah. Worthy gave them a big shot in the arm, and they're going to get Rashee Rice back for week six. So I thought it was a huge win for them in terms of getting their swagger back offensively.
Yeah, you know, I know you know Stella. That's exactly what they looked like yesterday. They got their groove back, baby.
Yes, sir. It could be a 180 turn with the Chiefs winning, the Chargers and the Broncos. If the Broncos lose tonight, the AFC South gets a little bit tighter. Let's go to the Colts and the Rams because Matt Stafford is just taking father time back out to the woodshed a little bit in this year, man. He had one of his best games in a very long time yesterday, maybe the best game in a Rams uniform, and halted the momentum of Indiana Jones and his great start to his season, giving the Colts a loss. What did we learn about the Rams? More importantly, what did we learn about Matt Stafford in this win yesterday?
I mean, honestly, I haven't learned much from the Rams or Matthew Stafford, because this is what he's been doing, you know, since he's been in the Rams uniform. You know, this is the type of performance in the year that he had when they won the Super Bowl in 21. You know what I mean? The defense is continuing to play outstanding, but they got away with one. And Pony know they did, man. And it was just costly mistakes, two touchdowns being called back. Well, one touchdown being called back. One touchdown gave up. I can't even remember the receiver's name, man.
Maybe Mitchell.
Mitchell. Why? That's why when I was in Little League, the coach always told us, finish through the line. Then you can celebrate. And he did the, oh, my God. I don't know how the ball slipped out of his hand. I broke my hat yesterday watching it. I said, you got to be. I can't even say it right now, because the Colts are a for real team. Like I told you, like we discussed this on the show, they got solid defense. They can take the ball away. They can run the football. And Daniel Jones, he made a couple mistakes. And we had one turnover in this game, one interception in this game. But if he can continue to play like he's playing up until that point, if he can continue playing how he's playing, and the defense can continue playing the way that they're playing, and Jonathan Taylor is running the air out of the ball, the Colts can be a dangerous football team. And I already saw the makeup, and that's why I kind of had them, not kind of, that's why I had them as my upset of the week. And I was this close off of freaking, if my man Mitchell runs through the line, and if we don't get a bullcrap holding on the big run of Jonathan Taylor, I get my case of water. But it was a good game. But the coach showed me that they are a for real team, and they can compete with anyone.
Well, you got to stick to your guns, and you changed your mind on the water game, and it cost you. You got to go with your gut. You wanted Raiders Bears, and you switched it to this one.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't. See, that to me, that wasn't like a real upset. You know what I mean? That wasn't like a real bet. I wanted something more like a good quality game. Okay. You know what I mean?
Well, we talked about it. I thought this was the most underrated game of the NFL season so far. Two good teams, and I think that what you said about the Colts, that's what I've been saying about their offense. I mean, they've got weapons everywhere. They block well. Taylor is a stud. And A.D. Mitchell, if we do game balls, he gets the opposite this week. He gets inflated ball, because not only did he have that drop and turn a touchdown into a touchback, but he also did have the holding call on the Jonathan Taylor touchdown run. Yep. It is a testament to them that this was a close game with those two plays we talked about, and with Jones throwing two really questionable interceptions into double coverage. And they were still right there to win this game. And the reason why they didn't is because Stafford seems to be over this back injury. That was a huge question going into the season. What is his health? He's been excellent. And Nacua and Adams right now are the best 1-2 wide receiver punch in the entire NFL. Mm-hmm. Nacua is awesome, man. I cannot believe that guy fell to the fifth round. He is, he could set records this year.
You know who he is? A little bit more athletic, though.
Hines Ward.
100%.
Yep.
100%.
I think the same thing every time I watch him, man.
He is a dude. Like he plays football at the receiver position like a linebacker.
Yeah, you're right. He's a tight end, linebacker, and wide receiver all rolled into one. I love that.
He's tough, man. Now he plays the game right, man. And he does everything too. He can take a screen for 40, 50 yards. He can come down and crack block on the end. He can run past you. He's just an all around player, man. He's a good football player.
You guys couldn't hear me, but I promise you, when you said, who does he remind you of in unison, I said Hines Ward with you guys. I think he's almost a spinning image. And watching him kind of almost mature and kind of recognize the player that he is, him talking his stuff to the crowd after his one touchdown, I said, we're seeing a new side of Puka now. We're seeing a new confidence out of Puka Nacua. So a great win. From the Rams, and the Colts put up a good game. We'll see if they get back in the win column. A team who did get back in the win column, the Jacksonville Jaguars, go to San Francisco, go to the Bay, and shock the 49ers and come out of there with a win. So much so that Kyle Shanahan and Liam Cohen, getting a little squabble after the game. So we
can talk about that. Was Robert Saleh.
It was Saleh. The D coordinator. So we can talk about the game, but first, what is your reaction to, the coaches throwing down a little bit after the game?
Yeah, I don't know what that was all about. They got some little like snippets of like on the field angles of it, but I don't know what it came down to.
Saleh came out at a press conference this week and said that the Jaguars offense has a sophisticated sign stealing system.
And
Cohen thought that was completely uncalled for and made it sound like they were basically the Patriots and they were cheating and they weren't doing things within the rules. So when they won, he went up to Saleh and made sure to rub that in his face, and Saleh didn't like that apparently. And that's when the whole thing got turned over on its ear there.
Gotcha. Yes. That's the backstory I didn't know, but we're going to get back to the game. We just talked about a West Coast team going east and getting mollywop. A East Coast team just went out west and did the total opposite. Well, they needed that punt return, the 87-yard punt return by my man Parker Washington. But for the most part, the way they was able to run the football, Travis Etienne finishing the game with 124 yards and one tub, a big time touchdown, and the defense really forcing Brock Purdy into throwing two interceptions. They just controlled the game, from the line of scrimmage standpoint, and they didn't allow Christian McCaffrey to beat them. And, they tried to put the ball in Brock Purdy's hands. He didn't have his weapons out there, and he wasn't able to, get some of those big plays and was on time because this is his first game back coming off the toe injury. So you saw that the timing was off with the offense for sure. But Jacksonville Jaguars, they went down in the Bay Area and got a huge win, man. And let's not forget that Liam Cohen, what he did to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when he was the offensive coordinator, turning that that rushing team around, finishing his offensive coordinator year ranked number 7. So we know that he has a unique style of putting rushing yards on a stat sheet, and let's see if Travis Etienne can be his bell cow.
I think that was something you could expect, that the Jaguars offense was going to be able to run the ball much better this year because of what you mentioned with the transformation last year with Tampa, Pat. Mm-hmm. What I didn't see coming, and I did like Jacksonville to win the division, but I didn't think they would do it the way that they're doing it right now, which is by taking the football away from teams.
Yeah.
They forced 4 turnovers in this game. Mm-hmm. Devin Lloyd, the inside linebacker, had 2 interceptions of Brock Purdy. They now have already, with 13 takeaways, they only had 9 all of last year, the whole season. So they're doing that at a clip that probably isn't sustainable. I don't think they're going to finish the season with, you know, over 50 takeaways, but that's been their calling card so far this year. And if they can run the ball, take the ball away, if they ever get anything from Trevor Lawrence, if he can turn it around with those wide receivers there, they turn into a very dangerous football team, man. Mm-hmm. And this, I thought, was one of the biggest statement wins and statement games of the afternoon, because San Francisco was undefeated. They won both games with Mac Jones at quarterback. And I thought getting Purdy back, they would win at home today. They don't. And I think it could be the type of win that at the end of the year we look back on and say, that was the reason why Jacksonville went 10-7 instead of 9-8 and why they're in the playoffs and not on the outside looking in. A huge win for them in the big picture of things.
Pony, I think that's a spot-on assessment of the Jaguars. I feel like they've been if for a long time, if they can put this together, if this happens, if that happens, and maybe they started to put a lot of those pieces together in San Francisco. We will see. Let's go to the Saints and the Bills, because I don't think the Bills ran away with it like people thought they were going to run away with it, but they still get the win. Josh Allen still looks good. In terms of the MVP clubhouse, is Josh Allen playing like the MVP front runner that he, you know, is still slated to be right now?
Well,
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Who would you give it to then, Pat?
Right now, honestly, probably Dak.
What? Wow. Yeah. Okay. I am shocked by that.
Yeah, probably Dak. If we're going by the numbers.
Well, I don't go by the numbers. I go by who I think is the most important player, and I can't believe that you didn't say it. I think it's Jalen Hurts right now.
He is the most important, but you know, he's not an MVP boat. Hell no.
No?
No.
I think just for the Rams comeback win alone.
No, that was nice. That was cute.
It goes to quarterbacks on great teams. The Eagles are undefeated. The Bills are undefeated. Yeah. I mean, I think Josh Allen's a perfectly fine candidate. He had to do more in this game than he probably thought he would need to, given how close it was. You know, Cooks dropped the touchdown pass that would have given the Saints the lead in the fourth quarter. They ended up having to kick a field goal instead. And that was a huge, huge play that if the Saints make it, they put pressure on Buffalo. I still think the Bills would have won. Their offense has scored 30-plus points in all four games. It's the first time that's happened since 1992, which is the last time they went to the Super Bowl. So I think if you're not, you know, if you're going by offensive production and record, it probably should be Josh Allen. But I'm partial to Jalen Hurts right now because of who they've beaten, the Rams, the Chiefs, and how they beat them and how clutch he needed to be in those games. So I would go Hurts 1 and Allen 2 right now.
Yeah, I go Matthew Stafford. And yeah, I go Dak. I put Dak in there, man. Dak going to be in the MVP talk once the season's over. Because okay. he's going to have a year just like Joe Burrow had. He's going to have big numbers. He might even be flirting with the dang on touchdown record this year. Because he's going to have to throw four touchdowns a game.
Yeah, that is true. Wow.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.